annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils, Payos.
Well, here we are. They said we'd never make it. It is episode 16, season 2 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Ben Edwards.
And I'm Duke Didier.
So this is 45 episodes all up.
All up, yes, yeah. So
Does that in count? Does that count?
Does it include?
No, in. Yeah, got it. Was that include our initial? Remember we did like a little teaser?
We did like a 7-minute one.
Yeah. Does that include that?
I think so. Right. I think so.
44.5.
But we'll make that up with our 0.5 episode that's going to come up at the end of the year.
I'm so just going to be f***ing drunk and high.
That's what you keep saying.
Can't say that.
Yeah. He says it every time, Duke. This is the last regular episode. Stevie P is away from work, so Duke is with us filling in. But we all will get back together if I make it through surgery next Monday and if these two make it through their fight.
So now, we're 50-50 on you. Duke and I will be here.
You'll be here. Now, speaking of you two, Duke, the poster came out today. Your next opponent has been announced. We'll talk about it in depth, but obviously you're happy to have it out there, mate. You've now got a focus and all your fans have got a focus as well.
Yeah, it's finally locked in. Nathan Reddy, December 2. So we'll go into that a little bit later, but yeah, I can't wait.
All his fan are really excited.
Got all the camera behind me. Don't worry about Ben. Ben. Marsha.
Now, Ben, you've just walked in too and you've told us you know who you're fighting and we will announce that later on in the podcast. So your opponent is locked in.
Yes, and that's a good one too.
Okay.
And, Duke found him.
You found him.
Find his fee, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. 50%. Okay. It's just the old Canberra scrap pack. You're looking out for each other big time, aren't you? He's finding you a guy to punch on with. You're helping everyone train.
And he's punching on with me.
Yeah. The scrap pack's growing, man. We've got a really good crew at the moment.
Yeah, I saw you put a photo up the other night. Looks like it is growing big time.
Yeah, the darkies are taking over.
we got some pepper in there now. and that pepper's peppering me.
Yeah, mate, it's some absolute quality with Spiro in there and my mate Big Paul. He's 170 kilos and agile. He's a freaking H. He's a just all-round good bloke. Samessi's jumping in.
Yep.
So it's been great, man. Awesome. Just so many bodies to move around with because usually it's either just been me, Duke, and maybe one other guy, Jimmy or Rez. But now we got a solid crew, man, so hopefully we can keep it going.
Very, very nice. Yeah. You're sporting a few scuffs on the face there, Benny. Is that from grappling the other night?
Yeah.
Or did you pick up?
That was from, sparring.
Yeah. So, so you didn't pick up.
Duke didn't punch me, but he did scratch me with his Velcro. Very, very annoying.
I've got one here too.
They're both covered in bruises, folks. So we'll get to that and plenty more. Ben, Biff's coming up next. What do you got for us in that?
Ultimate Fight Night. Not the Ultimate Fight Night. UFC Fight Night. 118 from Poland. I don't know how to say the name of the place. I'm going to say it phonetically. It's Gdansk.
Yeah, that'll
but
do.
I'm sure there's another way to say it.
Probably. Did you cover that KSW show, Putnowski? He doesn't cover it.
Nah, you can do that in your segment because you've actually got nothing planned.
Talking takedown.
Also,
nothing planned.
This is really beautiful boxer made her Bellator debut in her second MMA fight, Heather Hardy.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman.
Mm.
She got smashed, nose all over her face, still wood, glamour.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that later.
All right, we'll get to that and what plenty more. I'll be talking Halloween, so it's neither smutty nor sexy, so Ben's probably going to be thoroughly unimpressed, but I don't give a shit. So let's get stuck into song one, and I'll put this one in for Duke. Jericho, of course, Chris Jericho, everyone knows him from the wrestling. He's been around forever and a day. The man is a legend.
He invented the Boston Crab.
Yes, indeed, didn't he? Yes, the walls of Jericho. But a lot of people don't realise that he is
the just kidding, man. Just kidding, all you wrestlers out there.
He's frontman to a metal group called Fozzy.
Hardworking dude, man.
Yeah, man, does a lot.
He's always
stuff.
On the road on tour with yeah. the band or the WWE.
He's got to make
the
dream. Dollar bills. Yeah. One half rock star, one half pro wrestler. Awesome, and killing it at both.
And got an awesome podcast as well. Very successful. Yeah. Talk is Jericho. Really good.
Very, very nice. So they've just put a new album out last week. So we're going to play the big single off at Judas.
It's currently number one on iTunes, heavy metal, Judas.
There you go.
Like Duke, they're quite big in Japan, aren't they?
They actually, Aussie? You know what, they yeah. probably are. The Japanese love their metal.
Goban, really, I mean, do. Duke. That was his jam.
That's
number.
A story for another time.
All right, well, let's get stuck into it. It's Judas by Fozzy on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to Ian and the crew at The Butcher Shop.
Personified, and I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away. I am cold like December snow. I have carved out this soul made of stone, and I will drag you down and sell. Come, now that I've been
That was Judas by Fozzy, featuring Chris Jericho on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm good at that.
Oh, dear me. It is our last episode for 2017. We will get together for a Christmas episode, but I don't think we'll call that a proper episode. That's going to be pretty loose.
It's just going to be a piss up.
It's going to be pretty loose.
Your whole house is going to...
No, I just cut all that shit out because I don't want the police showing up when we record the next episode.
Which they will,
Ben.
They actually will.
Yeah. I'm happy because this studio will be stinking hot in December when we record. I'm happy for it to smell like your ass crack, but that's all it's going to smell
and a
like, all right?
Beers.
All right, let's do this.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
UFC Fight Night 118 in Gdansk. I say the G's probably silent. Gdansk? Poland? Yeah, Polish listeners, right. Tell me how to say that. It's the second UFC ever in Poland. The original one being the rematch between Krokop and Gonzaga, which was arguably the best head kick ever against the best head kicker ever. It was headlined by Cowboy Cerrone. Interesting little fact I found on Wikipedia about Cowboy that I never knew, and it could be complete bullshit being Wikipedia, but apparently he's got a boxing record of 13 fights, 1 win and 12 losses.
Really?
12 KOs. It could be complete Wikipedia bullshit, but it's on there, and I haven't seen anyone else talk about it as a joke. So,
okay.
But he's got a stellar MMA and kickboxing record.
He does. He just shows up and fights anyone anywhere, really, doesn't he?
Anytime.
Yeah.
And that's why he's a legend, man. Everyone loves him. He took on the 24-year-old Englishman from Liverpool who actually lived in Brazil for 3.5 years after getting stabbed twice at a house party. Started his MMA career in Brazil. He's a legit tough nut. He's a gun. The fight actually came about at an after party for one of the last UFCs with Darren Till, and his manager was there talking to Sean Shelby, who's the matchmaker for the lighter weight divisions in the UFC. They said they were looking for an opponent for Cowboy in Poland, and Till's manager said, mate, we'll take that for sure. Cowboy, I don't think he meant anything insultive about it, but he says, mate, I don't know anything about any of my opponents, really, unless they're like...
He doesn't watch tape on...
No, he doesn't do shit. I don't agree with that. When my opponent got announced, I watched a few videos of him, got a feel for him, and that's it. I don't think about him anymore after that. That's Duke's job.
But Ben didn't watch any footage until after he took the fight.
Because I trust you, man.
I said, what about this guy? I think he's perfect, Ben, but no worries. Didn't check the footage.
And then the fight got confirmed. I'm like, yeah, I watched him fight. I think that's a good one.
So if Ben gets flatlined, it's all your fault, Duke.
Watch the fight. Oh, he's an Olympic wrestler. Thanks, Duke.
He's got faith in me, man. So, yeah, mate, it was one-way traffic, man. This Darren Till, man, absolutely lit up Cowboy, smashed him. Round one TKO with 10 seconds left. Got the performance of the night bonus. And, man, there's just levels in striking. Like, Cowboy's kickboxing is very good, but American kickboxing is not the highest level.
Yeah,
and
right.
The old commentator when I was with Glory, Vinny Shulman, and he did Showtime and he's been a high-level kickboxing commentator forever. He knows the industry inside and out, and he's had huge raps on his Darren Till for a long time. And for very good reason, obviously. So Cowboy's nose got absolutely smashed, broken in several places. He put the x-ray up online, and it's pretty cool. But he took it like a champ, as he always does. Now, on the undercard, there was Andre Feely versus Conor McGregor teammate Artem Lobov, who has, after this fight, he's dropped to less than a 50-50 record. He's now 13 wins, 14 losses. He's spoken about retirement. It's probably his retirement. If you've had that many fights and you dip below a 50-50 record, it's probably time to call it a day. But interesting little UFC first time. Sorry, bang the mic.
You two just kicked the living shit out of the microphones all
and
night
each other. But a little UFC first, the referee actually stopped the fight mid-fight while they were on the ground and said, don't move, stay there, and told Conor to shut up and go back, sit in his seat.
Yeah.
He was making such a scene. He was screaming over the cornerman, and the referee, Mark Goddard, said, mate,
that Goddard's a good ref, though.
Absolutely.
He
and he did
100%
did the right thing. 100% did the right thing. So I thought that was an interesting little thing. And another UFC first on the same card, a heavyweight fight that was supposed to take place and potentially some future opponents for me. Anthony Hamilton versus a UFC newcomer, another Polish dude. And I don't know how to say his name, but being a Polish name, there's C's, Z's and K's and shit everywhere.
Let's just call him Captain Alphabet.
I'm going to call him Adam Vizok. Let's just call him Adam. He's actually
Adam V.
Well, what happened? He is there's a soccer team in Poland called Lucia Gdansk Ultras, which is a local soccer team in the city, obviously, Gdansk, whatever the city is called.
This is the episode we need payoffs in.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was playing this. And they're sometimes very, very violent supporters of the local soccer team. We'll definitely talk about this with payoffs when he comes back. And his opponent is actually a supporter. His opponent actually had nothing to do with this whole thing.
Right.
But the guy that was fighting in Gdansk was a well-known fan of a rival soccer team called Ruch Chorzow. So they've moved the fight to Australia next month
to keep it away from them.
Yeah, had nothing to do with Anthony Hamilton whatsoever. It's just this guy was going into a rival team's territory, and they all showed up at the weigh-in.
Yep.
So they didn't even show. They told him not to show up at the ceremonial weigh-in. Don't worry about it. And then the night before the fight, they moved the show to Australia just to avoid any potential drama.
Wow.
So I reckon that was actually pretty good of the UFC and a big call.
Yeah, pretty smart. To do that. I mean, soccer hooliganism and violence over the years has been pretty full on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
and they're running that many cards now anyway. There's
always somewhere else to put them.
Back in the day, there used to be one card every 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah. Now it's
every other week.
As Ben said to me yesterday, there's one on every week for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah.
There's time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as I said at the top of the show, Heather Hardy made her Bellator MMA
debut. Is she sure it's her first fight? I thought it was her second one.
It's her first fight in Bellator, but her second MMA fight. As I said at the top of the show, mate.
Just thought you were wrong.
You got too much cauliflower in your ears, mate. But anyway, should have seen it. I've never seen her or heard of her before in my life. Really accomplished boxer. Absolute gun. Just looks smoking hot at the weigh-in. It's got smash, steel wood, lover. And that's it.
She got real smashed.
Mate, her nose, her and Cowboy.
They're going to be looking like.
She reminded me of Rory McDonald after that. After Robbie Lawler fight.
And that mess, Robbie's only just recovered from that in his last fight. He took a year off and came back, hurt it in sparring all the
Neither
time.
Neither of them were the same after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Rory's only just come good from that fight. And that was, two years ago, July. I think so.
Yeah, wow.
It could be a bit of a road back for her. Because as we were talking about in training all the time, and I've spoken about on here several times, the head movement and defense is so different for boxing and kickboxing. And she thought she was safe. She was just moving her head way too much and went straight into a shin, which I actually got accidentally one of my training partners with the other night, but it's exactly the same thing.
Yep.
Too much head movement for kickboxing and MMA is no good. And I'm sure she'll learn a lesson and come back. She's tough as... And hopefully she can get things back.
Well, that's good because you never moved your head when you boxed, did you?
No.
Don't need to.
It's like war back in the day. You just stand there and just shoot each other point blank. I'm one of those guys, man. It's all about pride and mono.
Your neck's as thick as your head. So when you get hit, it's a bit different.
I'm lucky. My head. You saw me when I clean shave. My head is nothing sticks out. My head is built to get hit. I had the perfect shape
He's
head.
Got very good fight in
chest. Everything just glances off. Not really good for pulling a root, but good for getting hit. Let me tell you. All right, and that's it.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards, and Steve Payos.
God bless the interwebs.
Well, we will find out later in the episode of who Benny is going to be fighting on November 17 now, sorry. Yeah, it's been moved back. So that means Fight Food is on in earnest. Benny, what's getting smashed at the Butcher Shop by you at the moment?
Well,
I'll take it from here. Ben's going to be taking lean meat.
Yes. We had a chat the other day. He's like, yeah, Ben, you've been training well, mate, but I think it's time to cut the carbs.
Okay.
So I'm in there tomorrow. I was at the markets yesterday, did myself a nice little shop. So I've been training well, but haven't been eating on top of, exactly how I should be.
So eye fillet is what he's after, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's just as clean and clean eye fillet. Yes.
The eye fillet at the butcher shop is to die for.
Absolutely.
Buy two, eat one, wear the other one as a hat.
Buy two, eat two.
That's what it's all about.
And don't share.
Well, there's that too.
No bread.
Oh, dear. I went into the butcher shop the other day and to do a video for their social media, and Sess is like, oh, we're going to get you some stuff, mate. And I'm like, No, I'm on the pre-op diet again. I can't eat any of your awesome stuff. That is killer. When you walk into that butcher shop and you have to walk out, the only thing I walked out with was a shin bone from a staffy. That was it. I almost ate that on the way home in the car.
Duke had his little 2-second intervention with me on Saturday. And then we trained on Sunday and Big Paula was there because it was my farewell for me and Jack's farewell at Mr. Wolf.
Yep.
So we're not going to be working together anymore. Jack's going to academy and I'm having a break for a little while and coming back one night a week. So they got us pizzas and stuff. Then I'm like, yeah, God, that pizza was good last night. And Duke was like, was that before or after I spoke to you, Ben?
I literally sent you a text about the carbs. Did you just say yes?
Was that before or after?
Yeah, cool. No worries, Duke. Pizza.
Yeah, it was before, man.
Well, if you're not due to kickstart your MMA career shortly, just go into the butcher shop and buy whatever you want. They sponsor this podcast and we love them for it. Dixon's open 6 days a week. Kayleen is open 7, where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters,
Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve Payos.
All right, I got the nod. It's that time again. We've had 3 good ones out of 45. It's Scotty's top 5.
Jeez, there's no. Deep,
it
Shrek.
Doesn't look like there's much sex involved. So
no,
expectations aren't high.
No, okay, all right, but well, that's good.
But I have what an open mind. But whatever happens at the end of this top 5, I still love you.
When you're the size of Odin and you can knock people out with one punch, Duke, you can say and do whatever you like, apparently.
Ben.
Lads, where do we stand on Halloween being celebrated in Australia? Duke?
Yeah, it's look, catching on. I don't mind the I grew up doing it.
Did you?
I'm all for it.
You're a lot younger than me.
I did it half-assed where after school, summertime was Halloween. I just went over in my school uniform asking for lollies.
It's
Australia.
I had that happen here about 6 years ago. Yeah. It was a short little fat kid. I don't know if it wasn't you. But no, so one kid showed up one day just in his school uniform.
Was he 27?
I went, mate. We don't do it in this house, and at least if you're going to have a crack, put some effort into it. But, it's an old Celtic tradition, but when I was a kid, and I'm older than you boys, but it just – the only time you ever saw Halloween was on movies. Happy Days in movies and stuff like that. But now it's just insane how much it's taken off. And, for 364 days a year we go, don't go and talk to strangers, don't go and talk to strangers. Yeah. And then I remember one night here about 9:30, this 6-year-old kid shows up at the front door – not a parent in sight with a bucket wanting lollies. And I'm just like, really?
That ain't right.
Is that what we're doing? Yeah, exactly. But I don't know.
Give me lollies.
Yeah.
Don't share, man.
I put a sign up on the front, especially when I was doing brekkie, because, I was getting up at 3 a.m. and kids would be here at 9 o'clock. I'd already been in bed for an hour and a half. And, geez, it used to piss me off. So
don't go past old man Mulder's house.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, man.
Come out with a shotgun.
Yeah, it's like old Grandpa Simpson.
Get off my property.
So 2015 it would have been, I put a note on the door that said, this is Australia. We celebrate Australia Day here. Come back on January 26th and I'll tell you about the time Booney scored 206 against the Windies. No one knocked that year, funnily enough.
My dad did a similar. We had a note on our front door for years about
shift workers.
Mormons
and stuff. Oh, yeah, Seventh-day Adventists and stuff.
It was like one paragraph and it said, religion has caused more wars than anything else in history. If you ring this doorbell wanting to talk religion, you're going to start the next one.
That's fantastic. I'm sure I would get on very well with your dad. But anyway, we've had 2 invitations to Halloween parties already this year. Won't be going to any of them. I'll be in hospital next week, thank Christ. So this time next week, I'll be in the morgue or in a hospital bed. So I won't be at a Halloween party. Monday. Yeah, so anyway, let's get stuck into this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut.
Top 5.
Yeah, it's the top 5 signs you're at a lame Halloween party. Because let's be honest, Australia, we're not as up on Halloween
as the Yanks
are. It
could be somewhat ironic if this is your last top 5 ever. And you die.
Yep.
And then become a skeleton.
This is in perpetuity.
And
become a skeleton.
Halloween. And a Halloween skeleton. All right.
Coming in at number 5, instead of lollies, you handed Scientology brochures. I get a nod from Ben and a giggle from Duke. That's all right.
I like Scientology jokes.
Number 4. Well, for starters, it's April.
What?
What's a lame Halloween party if you're at it in April, isn't it? See, again, that's when so you make me explain the joke, Ben, it doesn't work very well. Head trauma, folks. That's what I'm dealing with here. Number 3 in the top 5 signs you're at a lame Halloween party. The headless horseman shows up driving a Toyota Prius. No, another nod from Ben.
Are you going to edit in laughter?
No, I hope not.
You're going to edit in my laughter, Ben.
Another pod, yeah. From another top five. Number two, 150 people sharing one Twix bar.
That'd be shit, bud.
That'd be right.
That would be, wouldn't it? And number one, there's the drum roll. Let's just get this over with, shall we? In the top five signs, you're at a lame Halloween party. While everyone's wife is dressed skankily, yours is dressed like Pauline Hanson.
Scotty, I admire your dedication. I admire your dedication to the top five.
I let you laugh at some of those. Edwards is doing a free reaction.
You were just laughing at me laughing.
I just threw the top five at Ben, and that's the most head movement I've seen in your entire career.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
God bless the interwebs.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, and now it's talking takedowns with Duke Didier.
Hey, how everyone's doing tonight?
No, well, we know you're fighting, and
yes.
Ben actually mentioned all of this on last week's episode, but I checked your Facebook account, even Duke hasn't announced this yet, so I edited it out before the podcast went live.
I thought we were just talking.
No,
I didn't know it was official.
We were recording.
Oh, it's kind of, you can't, yeah, it's recorded for the podcast, so, because there's a microphone in front of you.
So December 2nd, Duke?
December 2nd, Nathan Reddy, he's a very, very solid, pretty well-rounded MMA fighter coming out of Western Sydney. And, he's beaten Mike Turner, the last guy I fought, so we've looked at it as a good step up for us.
Yep.
And, he's a fit, strong guy, and he's one of the best light heavyweights in the country. So, and it's for the Urban Fight Night light heavyweight belt.
Yep.
And Stevie P from the show, he's going to be the ring announcer.
He was telling us last week, and of course it didn't see the light of day, but Steve was saying he's actually announced Nathan before and said it'll be a really good fight for you this one. So how's things looking as far as your training goes? I know you said before you've been doing too many weights and you're a bit too big in your own words. Where are you at?
Still better now.
Yeah, everything's feeling great. I mean, it was actually one of the best things I ever did. I dropped down. My weights were always a little bit too strength-based.
Curls three times a week.
Yeah, like it was a little bit too bodybuildery, and I've been doing that for a long time. Like I did a program that my dad gave me and only made a few tweaks to it over like 10, 12 years.
Yeah, right.
I've dropped everything, gone to really explosive, small reps, and I feel great. Like honestly, I'm moving so much
and
better.
Your flexibility is heaps better.
I'm working with Mitch Pike out at Metamorph. He actually in Queanbeyan.
Yeah.
And he's been helping with my flexibility, just breaking down the fascia of like your body is just it needs a good kickstart before you can start doing those stretches to get the flexibility that you need.
Yeah.
So everything's just really, really like
hard massage.
Everything's a really hard massage and then stretching afterwards, as opposed to okay, do these stretches, and it's not really reaching where it needs to reach.
Yeah, right.
So
it was instant results at training too. You showed up looking $1 million.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I'm really feeling really good. I hit my stride at training the last couple of weeks. I can't wait for this one because I didn't really stop training from the last fight.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, I know you're training every week and you're training with Ben and we see all the scrap pack photos you guys put up on Facebook, but does the training change – between now and the fight, is there a period like 4 weeks out, 6 weeks out, 8 weeks out, or now where you just go ape shit until fight? Yes. How does that work?
It's about 8 weeks out, 8 to 12 even. But I'll be doing a few more trips down to Melbourne now to train with Daniel Kelly down at Resilience Training.
Anyone else you're going to be training with, mate? My next opponent.
apparently. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, look, I'll be down in Melbourne. There'll be people everywhere. But I won't be allowed to train with anyone's upcoming opponents.
But as
I was going to say, that would be interesting.
No, I wouldn't be allowed. That won't be happening.
As soon as you get an opponent, a date is not enough to train for. Once you get an opponent, a name, your training just naturally you have a sense reason to train hard.
And there's more strategy, and then there's things going in. And
we all just get focused.
And it gets you out of bed. And this is going to be the first time Ben and I are on similar calendar dates.
It's 3 weeks afterwards, isn't it? Yeah.
So it's awesome.
So we'll be going. We've got Ben's coming up. He'll be about to talk about that now. And then mine will be a couple of weeks after. But honestly, this is what I do now. So I'm more than ready.
Yeah. He's been training the whole time.
So it's gonna be fine. And we've got a good strategy. We've got Ben and Daniel will be in the corner again. Look, I just actually can't
head
wait.
Head movement.
No,
something on Armand.
Can't wait. And Ben, we're going to talk about your.
Hang on, a bit of a drum roll. There you go. That's all we can afford.
He's fighting me. It's me.
Now, I'm fighting a guy called Jeremy Joyner. He's 5-1. He's just coming off his last loss. He's similar to Duke's opponent, is that he's a solid all-rounder. He's Duke's told me all of this. I don't like to...
Now, Duke, you found this guy for Ben to fight through Daniel Kelly? Or?
Oh, no. I like to keep an eye on the regional scene, and there was a fight on Diamondback Fighting Championships in Adelaide for a title. He fought Mike Turner.
Yeah.
And he put on a really good showing. He didn't win, but he put on a really solid showing, and he's actually... And I looked at a few fights before that, and he was on a real tear.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's a very good... It's a good step. Ben dealt with Brandon really well.
Yeah.
And this guy, he was ranked number one in Australia at heavyweight. So...
Right.
He's a good... He's
is
a good
he a wrestler? Is he a striker?
He's all-rounder. A well-rounder, yeah.
Okay.
That's why he's similar to the Duke's opponent. He's just a solid all-around guy, fit, tough, comes to fight.
Yep.
So he's a perfect opponent for me. But Duke's, I'll just leave all the... As I said, I watched a few of his fights, but Duke's done a little bit... He's watched like personal videos and stuff on him, but I don't like to humanise my opponents before I fight them, so I just watch their fights. And
any coach would do and have a look into the... Yeah. Have a look around and see what we can. And then, we put the name... I said to Ben, I said... Because we're doing it with a few others as well.
Yeah.
And this is the first one we've got we got from the promoter, from Shane, where we're on.
Yeah, okay.
So looking forward to that. And you heading down... You got the Pan Packs on...
Pan Pacific Championship for Jiu-Jitsu.
Last year you tore it up.
Yeah, so last year I was at Blue Belt and I got the four golds. That's the Gi, the Open, the No Gi, and the No Gi Open, and I won all of that.
Nice.
So I've been graded a Purple Belt now, and I'd like to do the exact same thing.
How come you wear a brown rashie if you're only a Purple Belt?
I get a lot of kit and I'll sort of just... I don't really care about this.
Is it the same reason you wore a Purple rashie when you're only a Blue Belt?
Oh, it's all complicated, isn't it?
I asked him that and he's like, yeah, well, if any brown belts want to take it off me, they're more than welcome.
Putting it out there.
You gotta love the confidence, man.
No, so it'll be good. So I'll go down to Melbourne this week, go and train with Daniel and a few other guys down there. And then while I'm down there, I'll do the Pan Packs. And hopefully,
and he's going to have one eye on my opponent.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm going to keep everything normal, everything structured.
All right, we'll talk off here. I'm in Sydney this week, and I'm tied to Avassa and Tyson Pedro's trainer messaged me today to confirm it. So I'll be up there on Saturday training with Ty and Tyson before their UFC. Ty's UFC debut in Australia. I think it'll be Tyson's third UFC fight.
Yep, that's correct.
When is the next UFC? November 12 or something, isn't it?
I think it's the week before my...
Before your fight.
It's either the 12th or the 15th, but the 15th is a Wednesday.
I thought it was November the 19th.
Well, the 17th is a Friday.
Well, the 19th is a Sunday.
That's America time.
That's the one.
Yeah. Must be right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, should be cool, man.
Yeah, so right. So you're just going to spar with those guys, are you?
Yeah. Awesome. Lucas Brown hit me up for sparring as well, so I might catch up with him while I'm up there, get some rounds in.
Okay.
Because he's just moved back to Sydney to get ready for his next fight. He's fighting this undefeated Russian dude.
Okay, and is Ricky Hatton still with Lucas? Is that all?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, they've been button heads for obviously a little while.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm not. I'll find out a lot more. All I know is what everyone else sees on social media, but. Well, every time I've sparred Lucas before, it's been good.
Yep.
Neither of us go too hard. It's not silly sparring. It's good.
Yeah. Well, you're a big fan of the not silly sparring, aren't you?
Oh, massive, man. It's stupid, man. I've got mates that spar hard all the time. And if you can make it to the ring and your brain's all right, you'll be sharp as a tack. But I think it's stupid to go
he
to training.
He just started talking about brain injury.
I think it's stupid.
Is everything all right over there, mate?
Well, it's not your punches, that's for sure.
It was my head kick, wasn't it?
I just think it's stupid to go to training and get brain damage.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
even if you walk out of there and you feel fine, it's still subconcussive trauma.
Yeah.
Fair enough if you get the occasional blood nose or the occasional... It's not a tickling contest, it's fighting, but... Yeah. There's an etiquette that revolves around sparring, and we've got a great... Even with Spiro Black's been coming back in, he's awesome, man. And he's right. He never goes too hard, but he always keeps you honest, and he's really sharpened me up the last few weeks. He's been great for Duke as well to come back in. It's been good. But I've made my thoughts on hard sparring.
Yeah, for sure.
Very well known.
Yeah. Now, Duke, back to your fight against Nathan Reddy. You said he's an all-rounder as well. How does he compare with Turner? So was Turner more of a stand-up, more of a wrestler?
Turner was a grappler.
Yep.
And with Nathan Reddy's more of a striker.
Okay.
I've seen.
So, which will be a good contest for you?
Yeah, it'll be a great contest. And I've also seen Nathan Reddy's got a purple belt in jiu-jitsu like I do.
Okay.
So, he's well rounded.
Yeah.
Was Turner, I think he's brown or a black belt in jiu-jitsu. And he fancies himself a grappler. But the way we looked at it with Turner was, we think, he's a grappler, but so am I. And let's just see where this one goes, because I think we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Whereas, Nathan Reddy's, this is your classic striker versus grappler, if you ask me.
Reddy, he might have.
He's got a few knockouts on his.
Yeah, he comes to strike.
He's got quite a few knockouts on his.
And he's not going to be rushing to take Duke down.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't think so.
Well, anyway, it'd be, that's what it's a step up. He fought Turner and beat Turner as well.
Yeah.
So it is a logical. This is no gimme by any means.
This is the right fight.
This is the right fight. This is a challenge and it's a step up, and it's two of the best light heavyweights in the country right now, rankings wise.
Both got good rigs.
Yeah.
Now, I know you don't like, as professional athletes, and it doesn't matter whether it's boxing or rugby league or whatever, and it's the old cliche, one week at a time. But for you, Duke, what's 7-0, is it?
Six and oh.
So you win this year 7-0.
Yes.
You're from what Ben said, from what he's heard about the UFC, you'd be right to put your hand up to have a crack then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm putting that down to my own development. So it's not about whether or not I probably have the right stats for it.
Yeah.
That's when I feel like I don't want to get there. I don't want to get there and just not be and be underdone.
Yeah.
So I still feel like I'm still only a year and a half into full time MMA.
Yeah.
I've got a big grappling background. I spent a lot of time just doing something a little bit different. So the longer I put into it, I'm happy to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Obviously, if the opportunity comes up, hey, I'm there. But I'm gonna take a couple more wins.
Hopefully a couple more wins.
You know, obviously not looking past my fight, but I want to take a few more fights. And just keep getting more time, in the cage, and then see what comes up next year. But
which says a lot about Duke's character. A guy who's 7-0 in MMA. He's like, I want to be confident.
Well,
in
that's
myself
smart.
Before
it's
I
smart.
Get there.
Yeah.
That says a lot about him, man. Yeah. And not for all the right reasons, but similar to me, I don't think either of us are overly worried about getting there. We just don't want to get there and then get. I don't want to get dry humped for three
rounds.
That's
what I mean. And that's with Ben. Ben's got that. He's had the time in the cage, in the ring. So he's got time on his feet. He just needs to make sure, and he's doing the extras with the grappling comps.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, Ben's. Yeah, we just don't need to be underdone. Well, why when we're on?
Why rush it?
We're at the right age. We've got time.
Yeah.
We're training hard. It's not like we've got time and we're going to start. We've got time. We're in the process. We just got to enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And make sure we're taking the right flights at the right time and stepping up when we need to step up.
Exactly.
It's probably the most sensible thing that's ever been said on this podcast.
Especially from Duke.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
All right, listener question time. This one came in very late in the piece, and there was another great question from Josh Watson on Facebook that we kind of answered in the last segment about you two getting to UFC. So I think we'll go with this one, because this one could cause a bit of a punch on that. Timmy Cecil on Facebook has said, if you could swap one of the podcast members out, who would it be and who would you replace them with?
Did you say Tim Cecil or Stephen Payos?
That was from Timmy Cecil. So, all right, let's let Duke see. Duke's a fill-in. He's done a few episodes with us. Let Duke start off. Duke, who would you pull out of the podcast and replace them with?
I have had no time to think about this. I'd swap. What am I going to do? I don't know what. I'd swap you both out for Joe Rogan and what's his name? They're Brendan Sharp. And then I've got a new podcaster and a new heavyweight fighter. Science catches later.
So you pull out me and
basically just going to upgrade the whole show.
The whole show.
I just swapped you for Joe Rogan and Brendan Sharp.
That's fair enough. You can't go wrong with that. Benny?
Just sitting on the fence.
Well, Scotty, I wouldn't entirely remove you.
Oh, yeah, okay. You just removed my segment.
No, well, what I would like to do, and this might be a prelude to next year.
We're putting Colts.
Here we go.
We've got Colts into this.
I'd like to swap one of your songs.
Yeah.
One song with one of our songs.
That's fine.
Instead
Let's
of
do
doing
that.
A top five.
Yeah.
Instead of being more like a radio show. Yeah. No, actually, top five, never be seen again.
Yeah.
But
right.
On the fly when we're talking about shit, I want you Googling shit that we're talking about to add to the conversation, exactly like Rogan does with Young Jamie. Then we can call you Young Scotty.
Right.
So I wouldn't remove anyone. I would just change Scotty's role dramatically. And then you can put your song, whatever song you like, right at the end.
Right, and what, you or Steve or you and Duke get to pick a song as well?
Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But, yeah, well, Duke would just be
See, I struggle enough to get you to send me your info each week, right? If you're going to have to add a song to the list, Benny, you're going to have to step up your game, son.
I got song game.
No,
I'll put it out here right now.
You and Steve or you and Duke can
give me the loot. Give me the loot.
Pick one song each week. That's fine. And I'll pick one each week. That's fine. As for top fives, go fuck yourself.
All right.
I got creative.
Why should that be a top five?
Who would I pull out of the show? Jeez, I just put my hand.
Yeah, I put it pretty hard about this one, Scott.
Yeah, replace him with no one.
Oh, dearie me. Do you know what? I'd just like a bigger studio so that we could have the four of us in here every week.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be nice. And that may happen with what's going on with business and stuff. There might be a new studio next year.
That question was well averted.
Was it? Yeah.
You should be defense lawyer. Yeah. I like how you avoided that.
I swapped
you
both as well.
Well, if I had to pick someone, I'd say I'd get rid of Payos because I don't want to catch whatever he's got.
While he's not here as well, the knife.
That's all right. With the Christmas show, I'll let him have a retort to that.
I'm going
to
say, if they're hot enough, I don't mind a bit of chlamydia. If you're an 8 and up, I'll take chlamydia.
Steve caught it off a koala, though.
In Fiji.
Stevie P, no.
Oh, Banaka Blinky. Dear. Oh, dearie me. There you go. Thanks, Tim. That was awesome. Steve.
Torn the podcast apart.
Speaking of songs, it's time to get into the second song this episode. Our good mate Crafty, the Velvet Glove, he wanted a final song in the final show. What?
He was going to explain that to me when I saw him, but I haven't seen him. What's the Velvet Glove? Is that a police reference?
I don't know. You'll have to ask him. I just know that's his nickname, and I think it is a nickname on the
Crafty,
force and stuff.
You got to let us know, mate.
He wanted 1,000 Horsepower by Godsmack.
I don't mind Godsmack.
Great band.
I still don't know what song it is, and I looked for it on YouTube for ages, but I saw a Godsmack song on Rage at
years ago.
Sparrow Fight years ago.
Before Shazam existed.
It was a freaking awesome riff, and I've never been able to find it.
Yeah, they're a great band. This is it. They're inspired by Alice in Chains because that was one of their songs. That's how they named themselves. But they've kind of moved away from that a little bit. Yeah,
I found that out about something else the other day. Oh, Pennywise. That was the evil
the clown from It.
I never knew that until the other day.
There you go. Look at you, Benny. Learning things and stuff. Crafty, here's your song.
I love you, Crafty, from Duke.
Back to 1995 when we were nothing. Walking through the
that was 1,000. Is it horsepower or HP?
Horsepower. 1,000 horsepower.
It's 1,000 horsepower by Godsmack, by our good mate and Duke's best mate, Crafty.
Indeed.
Got your back, Crafty.
You don't like all the coppers in town, but you like Crafty, don't you, Duke?
He's the number one in my heart, eh?
Crafty's all right.
You sack a few of your co-workers, but Crafty.
He's one of us, man. So what's going on now?
Well, it's basically it. First off, I do want to say thanks to you boys for showing up, Duke, for just filling in at the drop of the hat when Steve was off with government business and you know, going to doctors and stuff.
Thanks for having me. I love it on here. Have a great time.
It's great fun. And Benny, for backing up this year, mate. We had a bit of a stop-start year with everything, but it's been fun. And of course, Ian and Sess and the rest of the crew out at the Legends. Butcher Shop at Dixon for getting back on board and sponsoring the show. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do it, because it, you know, by the time you pay for everything you got to pay for to put this together, you know, we wouldn't be able to do it without them. So yeah, thank you very, very much to the crew at the Butcher Shop for getting on board. So I think we've got to do it. We almost forgot the armbar / uppercut / high five last
week. You did not.
Well, I gave myself. Well, I got knocked out pretty much. So
you're welcome,
Duke. You want to? It's armbar of the week, mate. When you're here, you get to do an armbar.
It's armbar of the week. Hey, how good's an armbar?
Yeah.
So we all had a little bit of a debrief, and it all came up at once. We all said Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
What
a story.
Massive story. But the thing that surprises me, and please don't think I'm condoning what he did, because the guy's a pig and it's abhorrent behaviour. And I've got
to. They did a movie on him and they casted Harvey. He's like, no, that guy looks too sleazy.
Yeah.
It's unrealistic. Yeah. He's the ugliest man ever.
But that's the thing, though. Like, shock horror, there's a casting couch in Hollywood. Like, you know there is. You know that's how it works. But the fact that it's been so rampant with one of the huge players, and now you've got guys like Tarantino coming out, and Weinstein's driver just came out and he said the shit he saw that, yeah, and had to block out and just let go was insane.
That's crazy. I just feel sorry for all the chicks that went through with it. And everyone's going to look back on all those Miramax movies.
And wonder.
Yeah. There's always going to be a question mark next to it. He's going to break up relationships, marriages, everything.
What an absolute grub, though. Hey?
Unbelievable. Well, I mean, apparently it's like quite commonplace, man. I heard a similar thing happen to Terry Crews and Hulk Hogan, of all people. That's why Hulk Hogan wasn't in movies anymore.
They propositioned him at a party. Like the big players were propositioning Hulk Hogan.
This is how it goes. If you don't do this, you're not going to get any more
Hulk
movies.
Hulk Hogan.
Wow.
You, brother.
Hulk was a shit actor, though. He was great at wrestling, but he was a terrible actor.
Yeah. Thunderlips, man.
High Noon at Mega Mountain.
What was the other one he did? He was like a babysitter.
Mr. Nanny, wasn't
it? That's the one, yeah.
I did a heap. The Rock did some shit ones too, but then I think he got some better advice.
Early on.
Go get jacked.
Yeah.
Go be the Rock again.
I mean, Scorpion King was... that's where
but
he started.
But when he was in The Mummy Returns, he was good.
Yeah. I mean, The Tooth Fairy, he did a couple of kids' movies. I remember taking my daughter when she was a lot younger to The Tooth Fairy when it came. It was all right.
So what did he do with Harvey Weinstein then? The Rock. Yeah, look what happened. I don't want to put it out. Who allegedly.
Knows, are they Miramax movies? I'm not going to look up Miramax movies were.
Well, they were all the movies your mum liked in the 90s. They were a lot of those rom-coms and stuff in the
90s. I've seen a lot of Miramax movies, and I've got different taste to my mum.
Yeah, there you go. But no, I mean, shocking. And it's crazy. And it's like the fact that he got instantly dumped by the Academy.
I reckon it's the tip of the iceberg, man.
Probably. Yeah,
there's more than one company, man. There's going to be hundreds of
It took some very brave people to come forward when it wasn't, like, it's you don't want to say the word fashionable, but it's a lot easier to come forward now.
Yeah, yeah. This is the floodgates are going to open, man.
Well, they are.
Even like with, who was, there's Corey Feldman, the other Corey that...
Corey Haim.
Ended up, he OD'd.
He passed away.
But they reckon a lot of terrible shit happened to him, which obviously can turn into drugs and can ruin your life. And man.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, over there,
it's
interesting
few months.
It's America. I mean, 300 million people all trying to get a crack at the brass ring. It's the same in NFL and the amount of people trying to go for a set amount of positions, and how many kids go through acting school who end up being waiters.
Oh, we don't have to suck
like
any.
That.
We're making light of a terrible situation.
Yeah, no, I just used Herb Albert and the T1 of Brass. All right. Cool.
I can uppercut myself.
That bit went a little bit too far.
You don't want me too, and then talk about you.
But I will say, for anyone going, oh, what horrible crap did they say? It was about each of them trying to get into the UFC. It wasn't anything about the situation. But yeah, big story. There'd be a lot of very nervous producers in America at the moment who've done the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not to the magnitude of Weinstein, but yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable, man. Yeah. So cop this.
Ready, Jerky?
Yeah, I got him set up.
All right, go.
Big fella.
Oh, dearie me. Well, that is it for us. We will get together again in December, if I'm not dead, and do another sort of wrap-up episode. If I keep making jokes about it, this will all seem silly later on.
If not, you can all choose in for the We Gave Ourselves an Uppercut podcast.
We gave ourselves an anaphylactic shot.
Oh, dearie me. Look, I've got my medical alert dog tag today.
What's that going to do now?
Well, no, but I've got to wear it.
But you'll be in the hospital.
Because you're allergic to
because I'm allergic to it. So because this Rocky Ronium stuff.
He's allergic to rock.
It's one of the first things paramedics give you at the scene of a car accident, apparently.
Oh, no.
So I've got this on every day for the rest of my life now.
But as a pain thing?
Yeah, well, it paralyzes you before it knocks you out. So if you've been in a hardcore smash, it's one of the first drugs they give you so they can start working on you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what they told me. So the allergy specialist went, you need a medic alert because it's a very common drug for paramedics.
It's a big commitment now. You've got to wear that around your neck forever.
Yeah, that's all right. Like I've worn worse things
like
around
dog,
my...
Like a dog collar.
Yeah, that's fine, man. I always wear...
I mean. Like,
gangster.
Very restricting. Like, you've got... Do we panic when you don't have it on? Like, I've got anxiety.
No.
If someone told me I have to wear that, I'd be like, shit.
I don't think they pay attention to them because they're... But I'm probably going to get it tattooed on my chest as well. Just so that if I don't have the bracelet...
You can get away with that because that just blends in with the rest.
Well, no, I don't have any. I don't have any on the torso. I've only got arms done, man, so I've got nowhere else done. So it'll stand out. I'll get it in nice text with a little photo of Benny Edwards with his thumbs up going, don't give this guy a Rocky Ronium.
Ben doesn't have any tats, do you?
No. No. I've never had a part of my body I wanted to draw attention to.
Why don't you wear a balaclava then?
Casanova.
And with that, I'll say get a big black dog up you.
And I'll say see you Christmas.
I'll say I can't wait till Christmas.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get all Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time. So long.